Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday AM, June 16th, 2013.
Highest heights or darkest deep, be there pain or poverty, there is nothing that can keep my Redeemer's love from me. All alone though I may feel, all the world my enemy, still there's no seal my Redeemer's love from me. Oh, the love of my Redeemer, never failing, come what may. He has purchased my forgiveness and has washed my sins away. Although great trial or tragedy, none of these can separate my Redeemer's love from me. Though the earth's foundation shake, driving wind or raging sea, neither death nor life can take my Redeemer's love from me. Oh, the love of my Redeemer, never failing, come what may. He has purchased my forgiveness and has washed my sins away. Through this world's few passing days, through all eternity, I will never cease to praise my Redeemer's love for me. Oh, the love of my Redeemer, never failing, come what may. He has purchased my forgiveness and has washed my sins away. He has purchased my forgiveness. Jesus washed my sins away.
Turn with me, if you will, to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And we'll begin reading with verse 8. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. These are the words of our Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Very familiar passage. Perhaps you can repeat it from memory. A very beautiful passage. This prayer that the Lord offered to the crowd that gathered about him on that day that he gave what we call the Sermon on the Mount. This prayer, this pattern, I should say, is used by liturgical churches in their services weekly. This is not a liturgical church. but all of the Word of God is precious to us. This prayer was offered by Jesus to the crowd that gathered around him, who were excited about his preaching, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven is among you. The king was there. And this sermon that he gave here was the constitution of his kingdom of heaven. And this prayer was given to them in that context. The leaders of Israel rejected him. "Without a king, you have no kingdom." So the kingdom of God did not come at that time. And yet, this prayer is still a pattern for prayer, even for us. Notice he said, he didn't say, there is a program on each Sunday morning that ends with, "Now let us pray the Lord's Prayer." He did not tell us to pray this prayer. He said, "After this manner, say ye." Little children learn to and love to pray young, if they're so taught. And we teach them, when we come to the table, to say, "God is great. God is good. And we thank him for this food." That is a prayer, and it is a pattern upon which, as we mature, we can expand upon. But this is a marvelous revelation of God to us. The fatherhood of God was not something new to Israel, but they conceived of it in a corporate manner. When God sent Moses to Pharaoh, he said, "Say unto Pharaoh, Israel is my son. Let my son go." And throughout the Old Testament, they understood that God was the father of Israel. That is, he was the beginner. In a spiritual manner, he begot the nation of Israel. And through the prophets, this truth is impressed upon Israel. But Jesus said when he came to reveal the Father. And the revelation was the Heavenly Father is personal. He is your Heavenly Father. He is our Heavenly Father in a personal sense. And this prayer tells what kind of Father he is. And incidentally, the kind of fathers we men should be. So let us examine this prayer thoughtfully this morning. Our Father. What a blessed revelation. When you know that God is your Father, and you know, as his apostle John wrote, "Now are we the children of God," it should comfort your heart when you need comfort. It should gladden your heart when you need cheered. It should give you confidence when you lack confidence or ability. So, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed is an obsolete word in the English language. It's a good old Saxon word. But the only thing we usually think about hallowed today is Halloween. But hallow meant holy. It also meant to make holy. In our modern lingo, We have chosen as a people to use the Latin word sanctified. So this word means our Father who is in heaven, sanctified be thy name. I'm sure Peter had that in his memory when he wrote that letter. And in that letter he wrote, sanctify therefore the Lord God in your hearts. This doesn't mean that by our praying we can add to the holiness of God. It means that we hallow and respect and honor God's name. For us, his name is Father. And when Jesus referred to the Father, he used the familiar Hebrew and Aramaic term, Abbi, Abba. Abbi is the word the prophets used to be our Father, referring to the Father of Israel. But Abba was the equivalent to our daddy. This is what so incensed the Pharisees. You don't speak that familiarity with that familiarity about God, but we do. Hallowed be thy name. May your name be honored. What a great revelation that is. This that our Lord came to reveal unto his people. He is our Father in a very personal manner. Then let's look at this prayer and analyze it. For in these few words, so much is said. Mary Bodie used to say that this prayer is multum in parvo. She liked to quote Latin phrases that she knew, meaning much in little. So very much is said in these few words. First point is piety. Then, after that, petition. And there are three of them. One for provision, one for forgiveness, and one for guidance. And then it followed by a benediction. That is a good pattern prayer for each of us. It's simple enough for children. It's profound enough for the wisest sage. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This expression of piety to align our own thinking, our own longing, our own expectation with alignment with the will of God, with the plan of God. These were Jews that were expecting the messianic kingdom of God to come, to be ruled by the Son of David. Jesus did present that to Israel. It could have been, but so far as Israel is concerned, the words of the poet are appropriate. Of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. But their rejection, as Paul pointed out in Romans, has redounded to our benefit. And to their benefit, too, if they can become believers in the one who first offered this The kingdom of God did not come at that time. The messianic kingdom of God did not. Of course, the overall sovereignty of God has always been and always will be. But to align ourselves and our thoughts and our aims in life with the will of God is most important. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, thy will be done with me as it is in heaven, where, of course, his will is ever and always fully done. Then we come to the petitions. Give us this day our daily bread. I think we each of us know where our lunch is going to come from. Pretty good idea. I think we know that we have a menu for our meals for the coming week, and we have the store to provide it. This was not so in Jesus' day. They truly did live from day to day and from hand to mouth. And famines were frequent. So this was a very poignant petition for them. Give us this day our daily bread. In our time it would be, thank him for the bounty that he has given to our nation and to us. The poorest among us is wealthy by world standards. Thank him for our daily ration, our daily food, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This shows that this is a very Jewish prayer. Jesus gave this pattern prayer in his Sermon on the Mount. He must have used this many times in his teaching, because in the 11th chapter of Jude, we read another occasion where he said, "And it came to pass that as he was praying," would you not like to have heard that prayer? Indeed, we do have one of his prayers in the 17th chapter of John. "And it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." In the Jewish way of thinking, a sin against another person indebts you to him. You are in his debt until you receive from him forgiveness. And in the overall, a sin indebts us to God until we receive from him forgiveness. The whole world is indebted to him until they receive his forgiveness. Forgive us our debts, our sins, as we forgive our debtors. A commitment to have a forgiving heart, a forgiving attitude. Is that not timely for us today? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. To guide us in our daily life. Provision, forgiveness, and guidance. followed by a benediction. This is what our Heavenly Father is like. He provides for His children. He forgives His children their errors, mistakes, and sins. And He guides them in their daily living and in their spiritual development. He has sent a special tutor to guide us into all truth, the Holy Spirit. Fathers, Jesus honored fatherhood by praying to His Father. God honored fatherhood by revealing Himself as Father. He left a high standard for us in our families. And it is a challenge to us. It has truly been said that the root of almost all of the ills of our society can be traced to fatherless children. In the 1950s, a young Assembly of God pastor had a comfortable pastorate and a comfortable home in eastern Pennsylvania, I believe it was. His name was David Wilkerson. Some of you know about him. And he felt a strong calling of the Holy Spirit to resign from his pastorate, to leave his family and children in their home, and to go to New York to preach on the corners of Manhattan. New York wasn't so all that far from his home. But he took with him a soapbox and his Bible, and he would find a busy corner to preach to the gangs, the street gangs of New York. They were systematically killing each other, just as they're doing in our own metropolis now. Hardly a day passes that there isn't a gang shooting in Metro Denver. As he gathered these street people about him, he first began to preach to nobody and to everybody. And gradually, the crowd gathered each day as he was there. One day, he said, "God is like your father." And one of the street toughs that later proved to be a leader of one of those gangs called back to him from the crowd and says, "If God is anything like my father, I want nothing to do with him." So then he quickly changed his approach and said, "God is like the Father you always wanted, but never had." There are many who have no knowledge of their father. There are many who know who the one who abandoned them is. A couple of weeks ago, the Los Angeles School Board said it would no longer expel students for violence in school. This shocked people, and they demanded to know why. And the answer was because it will just throw them out on the streets, fair game to the gangs. We can't send them home because nobody will be there. The greater part of them have no father. And for most of them, if they have a mother there, she's probably working long hours at minimum wage to feed and clothe them. Or else, as often as not, she's off doing her own thing. Do you wonder about the violence in Los Angeles? This is what is wrong with our society. Now, we cannot solve the problems of our nation. This assembly cannot solve the problems of Denver. But that does not excuse us from not trying. And the least we can do is to be like Peter urged, that we would shine like lights in the darkness of our time, that we would be examples in our own sphere of influence and as examples to provide for our families and as much as we can for others, to have a forgiving spirit toward our wives, our children, and to all others as well. And guidance to guide our children, to teach them to say how to say, God is great, God is good, and we thank you for this food. And thus, as children of God, as sons of the living God, to thank him and to praise him for his provisions for us, materially and spiritually, to seek his forgiveness for our failures. Some people think that Christians don't need to seek God's forgiveness because they've been forgiven. If you hurt somebody, isn't it your obligation to ask their forgiveness? Sin is a debt to God. Shouldn't we ask him for forgiveness? It is so liberating to do so and to be godly persons. You do want to be godly, don't you? So now are we the children of God. Now is the time to develop a personal relationship with him. Use this pattern prayer to start and to expand it in your own way and on many occasions. For God is great, God is good, and his is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.